Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Catronio.
Yeah, I stayed up for that. Nah, that was a heck of a game, man. Wow. Those are two high-quality teams. Any little inch, take a mile. That's the Dodgers. They win tonight 8-5 over the Brewers. That does not begin to tell the whole story. There are a lot of layers to this game. It was lost in the eighth inning, but there were other moments that the offense could not tack on for the Brewers. There was a highlight from Rhys Hoskins. There was plenty to talk about with Aaron Civale. We'll get to him a little bit later. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Again, 855-616-1620. The big story tonight, it's the Will Smith show tonight. I mean, three-homer game, that's going to be tough to stop for anybody. But the thing about the three-homer game from Will Smith, all three of them were solo. All three. So you'd hope you can survive that. But they could not. It was the two-run homer by Miguel Vargas that really hurt as well. A lot of ambushes tonight from the Dodgers. I mean, they're a good offense, man. And let's just go ahead and talk about what went wrong in the eighth inning for Elvis Peguero and Hobie Milner right here off the jump. Set the scene. 5-5, bottom of the eighth inning. 7-8-9 due against Elvis Peguero coming in for a fresh inning. And Elvis has been good as of late. You're facing righty, lefty, righty. And Elvis actually has pretty good splits against lefties. Righties are hitting 300 against them. Lefties only about 240. Now, a lot of that has to do with the sinker ball and that he only generally gives up singles. As of late, the only runs that he had allowed lately had been home runs. And he's a guy that relies on getting the ball on the ground, so you always worry when you see home runs all of a sudden for him. But over his last 11 appearances coming into tonight, the three earned runs he had allowed were all on home runs. So try to make sure that he can get through 7, 8, 9 in the order. And then you're starting to turn your wheels. Okay, Shohei is lurking. We just talked about the fact that he handles lefties okay. You're going to let him face Shohei. You're going to let him face Will Smith if you're going to let him face Shohei. And then he got Freddie Freeman. And the thought, though, is like, well, hey, if you can try to get through this inning unscathed, you don't have to worry about those guys and hand it to Trevor Megill in the ninth inning. But instead, a leadoff single on an ambush from Miguel Vargas, just like he ambushed on his homer. Then a ground out by Gavin Lux that was too softly hit to turn two. So you got a man on second and one out in the bottom of the order, Chris Taylor up. Chris Taylor has not been having a good year. And, of course, Chris Taylor becomes 2018 Christian Yelich when he plays against the Brewers. Because coming into tonight, he had a 160 average, a 506 OPS, and a 263 on-base percentage. He only had 15 walks and 138 plate appearances coming into tonight. And, of course, he draws a walk, getting ahead 3-1, swinging and missing at a 3-1 pitch, and then ultimately walking against Peguero. That was Cardinals sin number one. In a tie game against any order, you can't walk the ninth hitter in the eighth inning. And then I just read you the numbers, with all due respect to Chris Taylor. And then you got Shohei on deck. Of any order to not walk the nine-hitter in a tie game, it's this one. But Pat Murphy let it ride with Elvis Peguero. Shohei's in a slump right now, and he got him to ground out to first. Second and third, you've got, second and third, two outs, Will Smith up. This was very clearly a pitch around. He was not going to leave something over the plate, fell behind 2-0, but uncompetitive, below the zone, nothing that was close enough to swing at. Got Will Smith, the foul went off, ultimately walked him on a 3-1 pitch. Not against it, given he had not been retired tonight, three homers at this point, I understood. But that set the scene. Do you want Elvis Peguero, who can't find the strike zone with the bases loaded right now, or do you go to the left-on-left with Hobie Milner? Hobie had been loosening. He was ready to go. Hobie got Freddie to swing and miss on the first pitch sweeper, indicating a couple of things. He's looking away, and he's looking for the breaking ball. Took a pitch. It was tight pitch. I mean, I look at this at-bat from Hobie Milner. I really don't think Hobie did anything wrong. I thought he had a great sequence here against Freddie Freeman. And a reminder, Freddie Freeman is one of the best hitters, not only in the game right now, but maybe he's going to be one of the best contact lefties in baseball history. When you go back and look at the actual strike zone and the StatCast feed of this, okay, swing and miss on the sweeper down in the way, strike one. It would have been a strike if he didn't swing. Ball barely misses off the outside corner, but it was a good call. One ball, one strike. He fouls off another sweeper. Stays alive. It was a pitch down the middle. So bad it was good. So one and two, you're ahead. Tries to speed him up with a fastball. It's an emergency hack foul ball out of play to the left side. He's still trying to see that slider as long as he can. Then the pitch that ruffled everybody's feathers. William Contreras set up away, but for some reason set himself the center of his chest protector off the corner, as in the right-handed batter's line, right? By taking himself off the plate and trying to reframe that fastball, he didn't get the call. Was it close enough to be called a strike? Yes. Had it been called a strike that night? Yes. Did he not get the call? Stinks. I'm frustrated, of course. I'll talk about some framing numbers that I want to break down with William here in a second. You didn't get the call, but you're still fighting. Two balls, two strikes. Goes back to the fastball. He fouls it off. At this point, everything has been away this entire at-bat. Finally, hasn't thrown the sweeper for three straight pitches. He goes back to that slider down in the way. It was below the zone. Freddie Freeman sold out for it. A lesser hitter, a less experienced hitter, is going to roll over on that pitch, maybe get big, or maybe try to slice it down a left field line, and they're not going to be able to keep it fair, or they're going to pop it up. But Freddie Freeman, man, he's a good hitter, man. Gosh. Frustrating because the Brewers played better than the score indicates, but at the same time, that eighth inning, it all came crumbling down so quickly. We can argue about the strike call all we want, but like I've said before, I'll say it again, it has got to be extremely extenuating circumstance to say the umpire lost the game. Because the Brewers had one base runner, aside from the fourth inning tonight, on their offensive side. One, and it was an infield hit that got picked off on the next pitch. That's where you lost the game, not because of a borderline strike call in a tied game 5-5 in the bottom of the eighth inning. That's my take on it. I'm sticking to it. Take our first break of the inning. Before we do that, I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank National Association, member FDIC. Back with more after this, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. On your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
A couple of texts that have come in here already, 855-616-1620. Staying up late with us, I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers fall 8-5 to the Dodgers. Game one of the weekend series out in L.A. This one from Doug. Competitive again, yes, but they need a win against one of these two big guns. The other, I imagine, the Phillies, when the Brewers got swept by them. Try to get over the hump. Let's stop Will Smith. Look, if it was that easy, I don't think I'd be talking to you, Doug. But it's one of those days, man, you tip your cap. I mean, especially the third home run. That pitch was down and in, a cutter. Will Smith had, it was his night. This one from the 262 area code. Savali was good. Lived at the top of the zone. Front door and back door cutters were nice. Let's spend a little time to talk about Aaron Savali tonight. I put out an open question on my Twitter at Dom_Catronio, Dom_Catronio. Just openly asked. I read the line. Five innings. Four hits, four runs all earned, three homers, three walks, eight strikeouts, which matched the season high. 102 pitches, 64 strikes. What's your grade? Got a lot of interaction on it. A lot of B minuses, and that was my gut reaction too. I thought B minus was great. You're going up against that lineup, your first time working with William Contreras. You just threw a bullpen down in Arizona. You got back on a plane. You throw in with the team for the first time as you're warming. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. And the fact that he, I thought, was better than average. Matched his season high with 8 strikeouts. Found something with that sweeper. Found something with that cutter. Struck out Shohei Ohtani 3 times. That's not average. There are a few D minuses in here and some C's. I can't disagree harder with that. I know he gave up 3 homers. 2 of them were solo. One of them, you could argue, with a more experienced left fielder is caught. The one by Miguel Vargas, deep to left field. Churio lost track of his steps, how far he was from the wall, knowing he had that short wall. First time for him playing Dodger Stadium, where you can't give up on a ball down a left field line because you have that short wall, and you can kind of go 2 rows deep and rob a homer. I'm not saying Yelich for sure robs that home run, but he's a guy that's played in that ballpark plenty in his career. You can't even say for certain like Sal Frelick would have made that play just because of the inexperience of playing there. But I digress. This is about Aaron Civale today. Things I liked about Civale, he wasn't afraid. I mean, he fell behind a few guys today, and he was not afraid to get back into the zone. I know he had 3 walks, but there were walks to guys that you wouldn't expect. I mean, Vargas and Lux didn't love that, especially the walk to Lux when he was ahead 0-2. Walking Smith after giving up 2 homers to him is completely understood. But he struck out Ohtani 3 times. He struck out Freeman twice. He struck out Teoscar Hernandez once. Had him 0-for-3. I mean, really, the only one who did anything strong was Will Smith going 2-for-2 with a walk against him today. I give this a B- all day, and there's a lot of stuff I saw that I think is very workable that the Brewers can get very excited about with Aaron Civale. Number one is that cutter. Letting him use it, letting him throw it, let it eat, as they say. It hadn't been the same with the Rays since he got traded over there. Tonight, he threw the cutter 34% of the time, which is just about his season rate. The sweeper, his version of a slider, was really good. It might look like a slider or a curveball to you. The curveball is a lot more vertical, whereas the sweeper is a little more horizontal. And I thought the sweeper was a very impressive pitch. He got 6 whiffs on that pitch tonight. That's something I'm excited to see him grow into, see how he can use it better. What works for him in that regard. The other thing about Civale today, I thought there were some serious stones from him in that 4th inning. After giving up the 2-run homer, after the Brewers had given him the lead, so it's 5-4, gives up a 2-run homer, walks the next batter, Lux, after getting ahead of him 0-2. You know you got Shohei lurking. He strikes out Chris Taylor on a painted cutter, and he strikes out Ohtani for the 3rd time of the night. That showed me a lot from Civale. Then a leadoff walk in the 5th, and you're like, oh my gosh, you're really going to make this more stressful on you? He gets the next 3 guys, Freeman, Hernandez, and Pages, all to end the inning. It's in there. I think the Brewers have time to figure this out for him. The reason the Brewers made this move now is to have time to work with him. If they waited till July 30th, the day of the trade deadline, you could think, in theory, you're only going to get 8 starts with him. You just bought yourself probably 4 or 5 more starts with Aaron Civale as you hope to get to the postseason to use him to your advantage and understand what makes him tick. I love the story over with our friends on Valley Sports Wisconsin that Sophia Minnett told, saying he provided his own little printout of like, hey, I know you guys don't know me super well. I know I have to throw against the Dodgers today. Here's just kind of like a cheat sheet about me. I made this for you. I can't wait to talk to him about this next week. What was on it? What did you learn? Like, what did you need to hear about on that sort of a cheat sheet, and how much did it help William Contreras tonight? I thought, well, Aaron Civale was solid. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely. But also, let's be real here. He's not here to be the ace. He's here to help. He's here to deliver innings. The pitch count got away from him early. 23 in the 1st, 21 in the 2nd, 25 in the 4th. Otherwise, he was solid. You could see a good foundation here. Can't wait to see what he can become heading into his next start. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Talk a little bit about that framing and the offense. We haven't even mentioned the Grand Slam yet. It's a loss, 8-5 to the Dodgers. There was a highlight from this one. Another Grand Slam for the Brew Crew. Talk a little bit about that next on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Eight to five, the loss tonight to the Dodgers. Game 1 of a 3-game series. I'm Dominic Catronio. There was highlights from this, and I know we've kind of doom and gloom these first two segments, but how about that fourth inning for the Brewers tonight? At that point, they're trailing 2-0 after the two solo homers from Will Smith. An infield hit from Bryce Terang started things off, almost a miracle play from Miguel Rojas. Then, a walk to William Contreras. Okay, you got Yelly, but he struck out against Tyler Glass now. Now, you got Willy Adames. Willie's been scuffling, and something that popped that I've been waiting to see from him for about 2 weeks. He hit a single to the opposite field. He hasn't had a hit to the opposite field in 2 weeks, June 21st in San Diego. It has been that long since he had an opposite field hit. So he pokes a single through the right side. That gets the Brewers on the board. It's 2-1. Garrett Mitchell draws a walk. That loads the bases. Slam watch! Reese Hoskins delivers. He had been 0-for in the Colorado series. He had grounded out earlier in this game. And finally, gets one, cashes one in. Grand slam, seventh of the year for the Brewers. Sixth in their last 13 games. The pattern is starting to form here now for the crew as well. Remember, Terang started this pattern in San Diego. It went Terang, Hoskins, Bowers, Churio, Terang, now back to Hoskins. So that means if you need to go to Potawatomi, this is not betting advice, but maybe Bowers at some point here. But Reese hits the grand slam, and then Tyler Glass now shut the door from there. And I should correct myself. I said there were only one base runner the rest of the game. There were two the rest of the game after that. There was an error that should be a base hit for Garrett Mitchell, and then another infield hit from Jackson Churio. That's it. That's where the trouble was for the Brewers, especially, I know Savali did not get the shutdown inning there in the bottom of the fourth. One of the ways that you could have picked him up or found a way, now, easier said than done against Tyler Glass now, is create some offense. They were working deep counts against him. They had him on the ropes there multiple times in the fourth inning, but then Frelick struck out. He had a tough night. Churio struck out. He had the infield hit to extend his hitting streak, but then he got picked off by Blake Treinen. So the offense still stuck in this weird rut. Grand slams are cool. You talk to a lot of people that have been around the game for a while. When you talk about rallies and sustained offense, home runs are rally killers. And I'm not saying this like I'm complaining about them hitting a home run. They have the fewest home runs in baseball since the start of June. Hit home runs, please. Absolutely, hit home runs. But at the same time, it's like, okay, now you got to restart completely from scratch. And the Brewers could not find a way to do that. And mind you, the Dodgers bullpen is really good. Tyler Glass now, really good. And now you're facing a lefty tomorrow in James Paxton. So you're going to have to make the decision to flip the switch and get back on track. It's not going to get easier against the Dodgers, plain and simple. You look at the rest of the lines today. Terang got robbed on a great running catch down the line in the eighth inning. Yelly went 0-for-4. I thought he smashed one into the sixth, but it died just shy of the warning track. Garrett Mitchell reached on an error. He also had a walk. He was 4.08 up the line on that error. I think it's a hit in my opinion, but I digress. He worked a couple of counts today. We already talked about the Reese Grand Slam. But 7, 8, 9, they were a combined 0 for tonight. Just the infield hit from Jackson Churio. Sal 0 for 3. Churio 1 for 3. Monasterio 0 for 3. 1 for 9 total from that bottom third. And we've seen rallies form from there when the Brewers really get things going. But it was not meant to be this evening. If you're up late, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. This one from the 608. Guess I'll have to be a Cub fan against the Cardinals next week. This team's making me a little nervous. The Cardinals did win tonight, by the way, so the lead is down to 5. It is still not yet the All-Star break. There is still a lot of baseball to play in this one. And this one from the 414 here. Offense was the reason for the loss tonight, and the late-inning walks are hurting us, too. Agreed with both of those statements, to say the least. Brewers didn't have another runner in scoring position, aside from that fourth inning as well. That's it. Need more sustained offense. But 5 runs against the Dodgers, if you would have told me that against Tyler Glass, I'd be like, wow, that's awesome. Hopefully they can keep the Dodger offense down, which obviously wasn't the case tonight. Let's talk a little bit about William, umpiring, framing, how all of that works. A lot of people are mad about that eighth inning call. I'm here to kind of break it down. I'm not trying to pick a side here. I'm not trying to complain. I'm just going to lay the facts out and tell you why that was called a ball. That's coming up next here on Brewers Extra Innings.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. A lot of good replies on the Aaron Civale tweet, so maybe I should do that a little more often. I've got you for post-game shows all weekend long. Tomorrow, a little more normal time, 6:15 start time central. And then we'll have a 3:10 first pitch on Sunday. Also want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Right now, in Wisconsin, you're finding... I'm pulling up the ad read here. Sorry, it's the wrong... That's the old ad read. I got to find the right one here. We're rolling through it. It's late night. Hang with me here, guys. But let's talk a little bit about William Contreras. William had that frame, had the moment where it's like, gosh, well, that was a strike. The television said, like, look at it. It should have been a strike. The box, right? Like, well, okay, look. Here's the thing about that box. It's pretty accurate. It's pretty close. There's not what the umpire sees, okay? You'll notice if you go back and watch the pitch that everyone, you know, Freddie Freeman, he knows the strike zone so well. Most of these hitters do. And I know the zone had been a little wide all night, and you would expect to get that call. But I remind you, umpires are trained to situate themselves in the slot, which is the gap between the hitter and the catcher. So if it's a left-handed hitter like Freddie Freeman is, you are situated to the inside of the plate for that lefty. Now, you may be thinking, well, doesn't that expose the outer corner? Yes, and that's what makes it difficult to call. It makes it even harder to frame. When you look into the framing numbers for William Contreras, I know you can easily look at the overall number. Oh, it's blue. It's negative. He must be a terrible framer this year. Yes and no. The Brewers' focus with William is the bottom of the zone. That's where they want him to steal strikes. They don't mind the top of the zone. They would like the edges, of course, but the bottom of the zone is their focus with William Contreras. And you can go zone by zone by zone, what's called attack zones. They're all numbered based on the shadow of the strike zone. That's the only place you can get, you know, framing to you. You know, you don't get penalized if a pitch right down the middle gets called a ball because the umpire blinked or something. Furthermore, you don't get a boost like if you get the strike call that Evan Phillips got to Garrett Mitchell there in the ninth inning, which was terrible. That was like four balls off the plate, but that's not what this is about. You can look at it zone by zone. And when you look at the bottom of the zone, the shadow of the strike zone, the league average called strike rate for that shadow is literally a coin flip, 50%. William Contreras this season has a 54% called strike rate there at the bottom of the zone, meaning he's above average at what the Brewers are asking him to do. When you look at that glove side for the catcher, away to a lefty, zone 14 is what it's called on Baseball Savant. William is at 58.5, league average is 58.3, virtually league average. If William Contreras can be a league average framing catcher, which is hard to do with an inexperienced pitching staff, which he is learning is really hard to do when you don't have Corbin Burns and Freddie Peralta and Devin Williams throwing to you, it's harder to get reputation strike calls. There's a lot of subjectivity in this. The other thing that I don't like about framing numbers is, like I tell you about the slot, none of that's accounted for here. It's assuming the umpire is in the same spot every time, and it's the same pitch every time. You can get really deep in the layers, then it gets to a point like, well, why are we measuring this? I know folks want the ABS challenge system to arrive. It's coming. I don't think it's coming next year. I think it's going to be something in the next CBA because they also need to include the umpires union on this. Then there's the other argument where, if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, you have the computerized strike zone, but an umpire is actually calling balls and strikes during the game. But with the situation that presented itself tonight in the eighth inning, William Contreras or Hobie Milner could tap the top of their head instantly. No waiting on the dugout to tell you to do it or not. It has to be the pitcher, the catcher, or the batter that calls it for a challenge. Think of Wimbledon. Think of calling for the Cyclops system, calling for replay. It happens quick like that. If you've seen any AAA clips of it, it's pretty effective. But on one school of thought, it's like, cool, you get the umpire still calling the game. You get the big ones right when you need it if the umpire or if the batter or the catcher feels like they missed one, and you have that opportunity. The other hand is like, well, wait a minute. The computer is telling you the strike zone all night. Why not just use the computer all night? And that's the conundrum baseball is facing itself with. I want to remind you, framing is stealing strikes. And I know what you're thinking. Well, Don, the TV box said that was a strike. It's in the shadow of the zone. It could go either way. It's trying to convince the umpire that this is definitely a strike. That's what framing's about. You are stealing pitches that are in doubt. It's not about making good pitches look better. It's about making bad pitches look good. And that wasn't a bad pitch from Hobie. It was a bit of bad luck. I'm not blaming the whole game on that like I've talked about with the offense. But that's just a little bit of a peek inside of how these framing numbers are rated, how hard it is to do. And again, the focus for William Contreras and the Brewers belief, I've talked to Walker McKinven about this. Bottom of the zone is where the value is to try to steal strikes for William Contreras this year. And again, his body was off the plate. He did a lot of mechanically wrong on that play to be begging for a call. That wasn't on the umpire. There were some things that William could have done differently there, in my opinion. That's baseball, Susan. You've heard me say it before. I'll say it again. Up next, let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. Brewers fall in this one by a final of 8-5, but I did find that read that it said I was going to find for Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Right now, for a limited time, they're offering $10 off an AC tune-up or $10 off an HVAC, plumbing, or electrical service call. At Sider, your home comfort is top priority. Visit Sider.com today. That's Seider.com. All right, we'll hear from the manager up next, Pat Murphy, on WTMJ. Had the stat over on my Twitter. This was a cool one from Aaron Civale. He struck out Shohei Ohtani 3 times tonight. He's the 9th pitcher ever to do it. It's the 11th instance of it happening. The list is wild for pitchers who have done it to Shohei Ohtani. Justin Verlander did it to him twice. That makes sense. Justice Sheffield did it to him twice. Like Justice Sheffield, who was traded from the Yankees to the Mariners. That Justice Sheffield twice. Gerrit Cole, that makes sense. Luis Garcia with the Astros, that makes sense. Dallas Keuchel? What? Tristan McKenzie, that makes sense. Robbie Ray? Okay. Bruce Zimmerman? This is all over the place. What a list. And now Aaron Civale is on that list. Pat Murphy has some thoughts about Civale and his offense and the bullpen as well. Brewers fall by an 8-5 final. Here's what he had to say to the media after.
Yeah, we pitched to Smith. I mean, we weren't trying to walk him, you know. Obviously, Peggy had trouble finding the zone, period. But you load the bases, you do, you know, with him not finding the zone. You know, that's our option right now with Koenig on the DL. And that's our option right there. It was Hudson or Koenig, it would be in that situation. So that's the way it is, you know. And credit to the Dodgers, credit to Freddie Freeman. He's done it in the clutch so many times. A couple borderline pitches there that could have went the other way, and that's baseball. Great environment. That's what it's all about. Tonight's what it's all about. We got to respond. Young guys got to figure out, you know, how to be able to perform their best in these types of environments.
William really wanted that pitch on the outside edge against Freeman. Did he or anyone else who saw it say anything afterwards?
I mean, they felt like it was a strike, but I mean, that happens all the time, you know.
Remember that last Will Smith home run off of Hudson? It was a ball outside. Is that just, you know,
swinging a bat great?
Yeah.
Kids swinging a bat great, and they're stepping up while Betts is out. Yeah. That kid is—he's been quietly one of the engines that run the ship over there. That's been pretty successful. So, and he has maybe the most important job on the team. So, for him to do that, do both jobs the way he does, we know what that's like because we know what William does for our team. So.
Murph, outside that Hoskins swing, 7 of the 9 innings, they faced the minimum. What did you think of the at-bats?
We faced some really good pitching, you know, like Glasnow's, I don't know, you know, everything about it. Glasnow's a guy that obviously they wanted to sign, and they go after the very best players in the league. If you think about Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman, Smith, and you know, they go after the very best, and so they went after this guy to secure his future, and you know, he pitched really good. He's really good, but I thought we did a good job putting ourselves in a position to do that. I thought Savali showed some guts, and yeah.
What did you think of Aaron tonight? The 8 strikeouts matched a season high for him.
Yeah, I thought he was really good. He really handled the left-handed hitters incredibly well, and you know, I thought he battled. You know, it's hard to give up. What do you give up? 4 home runs or 3 home runs? 3 home runs. It's hard to win like that. But he faced a kid that's scorching hot, obviously, tonight, and the kid was unconscious tonight. He was that good, and yeah, I thought he battled, and I think he's a perfect fit for our club.
Awesome. Smith, what does your experience tell you about what this could be?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what he's got to feel great about it. You know what I mean? To put that good swing on that pitch from a pitcher like Glasnow, and gave us a chance to win.
Bagheera's having a tough time getting righties out. That's a spot he's job he has to do. What do you make of the difficulty he's having?
Yeah, it starts with your bread and butter, which is throwing strikes. You know, it starts with throwing strikes. So he throws the ball 96, 97. You got to throw the ball in the zone. So he's got to throw strikes. Now, and conversely, Piamps looked very good tonight. But the last 5 out of 7, he hasn't been great. So, Peggy, it was a nice spot for him there with a lot of right-handers. But he's got to get those guys out. He's got to get that sinker back, and the slider's got to be consistent. One for a strike and one for one that appears a strike and becomes a ball. But he's got to do that.
With those two guys and Hudson, too, is it that time of year for some of these relievers where that all-star break starts to become like...
I think every team goes through it. I mean, it's not just the break, you know, it's the consistency, it's the mental toughness, all that kind of stuff comes into play. Hudson was really juiced up, and he faced a hitter that made him pay, but other than that, he got the job done.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts on the bullpen there. A text actually came in on that, and a couple of tweets on that as well. Hey, is this what to expect from the bullpen moving forward? Is this regression to the mean, or is this just them being overworked? With that last comment about Brian Hudson being amped, look, you got to remember all the baggage that this series came with for Brian. Former team, having to face the best hitter on the planet, and gave up a home run to Will Smith and trying to calm down the adrenaline. You could see it on his face. There was some flush there. And we've heard Pat Murphy talk about this all season long. Great stages present great opportunities for young teams to grow, right? That first trip down to Wrigley, that series in Philly. What do you notice, too? They lost that first series at Wrigley. They got swept by the Phillies. They got beat by the Yankees at home. They lose the first game to the Dodgers. All of this is data. All of this is learning what it takes to be the best against the best. They are still a young team. They are far from perfect. But gathering data and understanding what that adrenaline is going to feel like in big moments is going to set you up for success when it's really pumping, hopefully in October. A couple of thoughts on some of the highlights coming up next. You'll hear from the guys in L.A. after this. Then we'll get ready to say goodnight. Brewers fall 8-5 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Tell you what, there were a couple of highlights tonight. They did lose 8-5 to the Dodgers as we get ready to say goodnight. All the RBIs came in the fourth. First, it was Willy Adames.
0-1 ground ball towards the right side and out of the reach of a diving Gavin Lux and into right field. Scoring from second, Terang. First to third, Contreras. Willy Adames pokes one the opposite way.
That's Josh Maurer on the call here on WTMJ. The Brewers got themselves on the board. At that point, they're trailing 2-1. They would load the bases after a walk to Garrett Mitchell. And with one out, Rhys Hoskins coming up. He has the most plate appearances on the team with the bases loaded. There have been a few double plays, but all of a sudden, remember, his home ballpark is Slam Fam Field.
2-1 Dodgers, the 0-1. High, deep drive, left center field. Backing up, Páez back onto the track. Páez wall leaps up. Did he catch it or is it over the fence? There's been no signal. Now it comes. It's a grand slam for Rhys Hoskins.
That was a moment where it's like the fan caught it, ran back to his seat, grabbed a dummy ball, then threw that one back out onto the field. You, sir, are a coward. Throw the ball you caught back. Anyway, Rhys Hoskins hit a grand slam. That was a cool moment. Then the cool moments ended. The Brewers lose 8-5. Will Smith, a three-homer game. The last time the Brewers allowed a three-homer game from an opponent, that came Michael Perez, 2022. I'm not going to lie. I worked this game. I have zero recollection of it. Absolutely zero. June 30th, 2022. Previous to that, Jesse Winker in 21 and Paul Goldschmidt in 2019. All right, shake it off. Get ready to go tomorrow. Freddy Peralta has the ball. He'll be going up against left-hander James Paxton. A little bit easier game time to deal with tomorrow. We're on the air at 5 o'clock. I've got you covered for Brewers warm-up, and then it'll be a 6:15 first pitch, and I've got you after the game as well. If you're one of the folks that likes to sync up your television, it is on Fox tomorrow. So, no Bally, sync up WTMJ with Fox, and you will have a great time at the ballpark. Brewers and Dodgers game 2 tomorrow. Hope you tune in for that one and have some fun with us after the game as well. Thanks to our brand new producer, Nate Rilling. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.